Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not where I plan on preaching this morning, but I was thinking the other day, it was in my mind, I think it was Friday afternoon, I was doing some things around the house, and all of a sudden this verse there come to my mind. There in Psalm 84, verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. My, I thought about that. I said, Lord, do I desire to be in your house with your people as much as the psalmist desired just to spend one day in the courts of God? Come on. He said, I'd rather be just one day in the courts of God than 1,000 days anywhere else. Man, I don't really think there's many times we come into the house of God really feeling like that. We look forward to it in that way. But you know something special about Psalm 84? Many times we look at the Psalms. I'm not planning on preaching this unless the Lord moves differently, because I got a whole different sermon. But it just started turning over in my mind when we were singing that song. You know, something about Psalm 84, if you notice in the title, it was written by the sons of Korah. It was written by one of the sons of Korah. Let me just remind you of what happened with the sons of Korah. All the way back to the time when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt land, getting ready to enter into the promised land. And we know that the sons of Korah were those who rebelled, or the Korah was a man who rebelled against God. He had stood in the way of God against Moses, felt as though Moses and Aaron were taking too much upon themselves. And there, Korah and his company died before the Lord. And the other day, my wife, she was reading somewhere in the Bible, and she came up to me and she said, did the sons of Korah survive that incident? I said, yes, they did. In fact, the book of Numbers tells us that they survived the incident specifically. And here in Psalm 84, one of those sons, one of those descendants of Korah, they stand up and they testify and they say, I had rather just spend one day in the house of God. Now, we're not talking about a day like we get to spend. We're not talking about a time when somebody's playing a piano and somebody's leading in worship as we are used to. We're not talking about somebody standing up and delivering a sermon as we are used to. We're talking about under the Old Testament law in the sacrificial system, or whenever they would have to come and bring a sacrifice. Blood would have to be spilt when they gathered in the house of God to worship. And yet he said, I would rather go there, bring a sacrifice, and spend one day in the house of God. He's not a Levite. He's not a priest. He's not anybody who was part of that procession. But yet, I would rather go to the house of God and spend a day in the courts of God than spend 1,000 anywhere else. Or rather than spend time at my house, I would rather be where the presence of God was and where God dwells. Because that is somebody who understood the importance of God's manifest presence. Because there in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, whenever Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, you know what God did? He pushed them out of his presence. Oh, he put up a cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life so that no one could access his presence. And it wasn't until the tabernacle was constructed that a way back into the presence of God was made. Man, I wish I could preach it. It wasn't until the tabernacle was made. And you know what? There upon that mountain, oh, you know what God said to Moses? He said, I want you to construct a place. Oh, it's not going to look very inviting from the outside. It's going to be covered in animal skins. Oh, it's going to be a very strange looking place on the outside. But he said, this is going to be the meeting place. This is going to be the place where my glory dwells, where my glory comes down in the midst of the people. And on the inside of that, when you you get past the outer curtain and you begin to look on the inside, you're going to find a brazen laver where you can wash yourself. You're going to find an altar there to burn your sacrifices. If you go inside of the tent itself, there you're going to find this candlestick, oh, with these candles upon it, oh, signifying the incense unto God. You're going to find this table spread with bread upon it, signifying a fellowship meal with God. All of these things are there. They're made out of gold and blue and silver and things of precious metals. But most importantly, beyond the inner veil, there the presence of God dwelt. The sons of Korah stand up and they testify. They say, I'd rather be where God's presence is. I'd rather be there than out tending 1,000 head of cattle. Oh, because in that day, that would have been somebody who was rich. Oh, I would rather be there than enjoying the celebrations of some great family activity. I would rather be there than doing anything else. Just let me be where the glory of God dwells. Oh, let me tell you here today. Oh, if the sons of Korah in the Old Testament, who could not enter but by blood of a sacrifice, if they could say, oh, let me spend one day in the presence of God, how much more should we who have a new and a living way beyond the veil say, God, let me be where your presence is amongst your people. Let me spend time where you are glorified. Oh, and the Old Testament, he told them there in the book of Psalms, he said that God inhabits the praises of Israel. He lived in the praise of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. But in John chapter number 14, you know what he tells us? He no longer is seated above the cherubim in the Old Testament. Oh, he is no longer inhabiting, as it were, just the praises of people. But he said that Holy Spirit who has been with you shall be in you. Oh, the one whom you know and you have seen, he is now going to take up residence in your heart. Oh, as New Testament believers, oh, we don't have to come here just simply to experience the presence of God, because the presence of God is already alive and real in our hearts. We don't have to come here for that purpose, but yet we do anyway, because there is something about when people who are collectively the temple of God, when they gather together, God moves amongst his people. He does for them what can only be thought and imagined, and even beyond what we think or ask. Those are the times that God would move, amen. Oh, I love the way Paul writes it here. I won't plan on preaching this morning. I have zero notes for this. You can get up here and look if you'd like. Oh, but I love what he says there. Oh, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. In the Old Testament, God dwelt behind the veil of badger skin. Oh, in the New Testament, God dwells within the tent of human skin. And he works and he moves there. But I love how he pictures it here. He pictures the church here fitly growing together unto a holy temple in the Lord. We are now the tabernacle of God. And when we gather together as we were individually and we become corporate, there God begins to move amongst his people, and he recognizes that these people are here for a purpose. They have a reason for being here. Oh, God inhabits, oh, not only the praises but the hearts of his people in the New Testament. And so thus, when we give him praise, we are giving glory and honor to the God who has purchased us with the price of his blood, the blood of his dear son. Oh, thanks be to God today. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a distant God. I serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, how many of them, sons of Korah, had never seen beyond that veil? They had only heard what Moses had written about it. But yet, just to be near that place, just to be near that place where one day a year the high priest would enter in on the Day of Atonement and offer up a sacrifice, oh, for the sins of the people, just to be near that gracious place, they said, I want to spend time there. In fact, in the beginning of Psalm 84, he talks about how even the little birds are blessed because they make their nest around the tabernacle or the temple of God. They make their nest around the dwelling place. Oh, he said, not only would I like to dwell there, he said, oh, just to be a bird making its nest outside of that tabernacle, to be in the proximity of the presence of God. Oh, when a creature recognizes that there's something about being in the presence of the Creator. I guess you're not feeling what I'm feeling this morning. Oh, whenever a creature recognizes I have the opportunity to be in the presence of my Creator, the one who formed me, the one who fashioned me together in my mother's womb, and I get to be in His presence, and I get to be with other people who have experienced His saving grace. Oh, it does something inside of the heart, and it makes you want to cry out, I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Paul goes on there in chapter 3 of Ephesians, say, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Oh, hallelujah. He recognized that the believers who have been indwelt by the Spirit of God were not just on earth, they were also in heaven. And he said, oh, blessed be God, because we are part of that great family, oh, of our Father, oh, God in heaven, and of Jesus Christ, His Son. He said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Can I tell you this morning, God desires to do that for us when we gather together collectively. He desires to take and put strength in us that is not our own. You say, Brother Shane, I don't have the strength to do it in myself. I can't face it alone. You're absolutely right. You cannot face it alone. But He didn't tell you to face it alone. He said you can be strengthened with might in the inner man. That's the strength of God imparted to the people of God by the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. And how many services have we gathered together, and God comes by and He imparts supernatural strength for the moment. I didn't say it was enough strength to know what you're going to do 6 months from now. I'm talking about strength to carry through this day and face tomorrow if the Lord should tarry. Oh, strength that is sufficient for the day. That is the God that we serve. And when we gather together, He desires to do that. And then He goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, or you all, it's a plural term there, being rooted and grounded in love. When He saved us, you know what? He put down those roots in love for us. Oh, that now the love of God is the basis for which we can come into this house and give God praise. Somebody say, oh, why are you praising God this morning? Is it because you've had a perfect week? No, it's not because I had a perfect week. Is it because you yourself have acted perfectly in every situation? No, that is not the case. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got my roots down into the love of God, and that love of God is eternal. It stretches from everlasting to everlasting, and it has no expiration date. I'm glad to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Oh, believer, I remind you this morning as we gather together in the courts of our God that we have been rooted in the love of God. Those roots go beyond persecution. Those roots go beyond destruction. Those roots reach beyond pain and desolation. Those roots reach beyond church hurt. It reaches beyond all of it. That's the love of God that we are founded upon. Amen. And he said that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. He said, not only the roots of love, as we gather together in the church, we understand what we're rooted in, but we understand that we're also built up into the love of God. And the more we discover about His love, the deeper we go into His holy love, we find there is more yet to discover. I go higher, and guess what? I find out His love is infinitely higher. I go wide, and I find out His love is infinitely wider. I go deep, and I find out that His love is deeper still. Oh, when we gather together this morning, let's give God praise because of such love that He not only has rooted us in, but He has allowed us to comprehend the breadth and the height and the depth of just what a measure of His love looks like. And you know what I love about this? He doesn't love me any more than He loves you. And He doesn't love you any more than He loves me. He loves us all the same. He said, Brother Shane, you're the man up here preaching this morning, but guess what? God loves you just as much as He loved me. And I can't describe the love He had for me, and you'll never be able to describe the love He had for you. Oh, because we know what? We can trace it as far back in time as we want to, and guess what we find? We find that we love Him because He first loved us. His love was first. And I'm going to tell you, when we look to the end of our days, we don't know when that's going to be. It may be tomorrow. It might be, 50 years from now if the Lord should tarry. Whatever the end of our days may be. And you know what we'll find? We'll find the love of God's going to extend beyond that expiration date, beyond the date written on a tombstone. The love of God reaches beyond that. Ooh, hallelujah. As we gather together this morning, if we don't have anything else to praise God for, we ought to be able to praise Him for such immeasurable love as this. For God so loved. That little word "so" is important. For God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. I know it's familiar. We can quote it. But yet it should still capture the attention of our heart. This is how much God has loved you. This is how much God has loved me. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, we're here today, and we are not perishing in hell because of the love of God. Me and you, you know where we deserve to be? In the gates of eternal torment. Oh, crying out the misery of our sin. That's where we deserve to be today. Every single one of us deserve to be lifting up our mouths in the gates of torment, saying, if I had only but accepted Christ. That is what we deserve. But yet today, that is not our story, but rather our story declares, by the love of God, by the grace of God, by the power of God, I am not in hell, I am not perishing, but rather I have already begun to experience eternal life in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see why we sing so much about Calvary? You said, Brother Shane, I feel like almost every song we sing, it's either about Calvary or it's about heaven. But yet, how many times we come into this church and we don't think about either thing? We're only thinking about what's right here and right now. And we don't look back to Calvary. And we don't look back forward to heaven. Oh, but this is why we sing it so often. Because first of all, we look back and we see what Jesus did on the cross. And we recognize that's the love of God. What He has done for us. And we look ahead of us and we see, what a day of rejoicing that will be when all the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. That's what God's love is going to do for us one day. And we're just living in the in-between time. For I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Paul would write at the end of Romans chapter 8. He said, there is not anything present, nor things to come. There is not any powers or principalities or angels. Oh, he says, there is not persecution. There is not famine. There is not sword. There is not a peril that may come to us in this life that shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God for it. Oh, are you persuaded this morning as we gather together as the saints and we say, I'd rather be in the house of God today because I know how much God has loved me. I know much what he has done for me, and I know there is more yet to come. Oh, woo, hallelujah. Notice he said that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That is collective unity. I can't do it with all the saints sitting at home reading my Bible. I'm not telling you don't go home and read your Bible. I'm just here to tell you the collective unity of the book of Ephesians. Paul reminds that church that you can't do this thing by yourself, and God never intended for you to do it by yourself, because we're not in this by ourselves. Oh, number one, we have a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has promised, I'll go with you even unto the ends of the earth. But beyond that, we have each other because we have been called into fellowship one with another, the book of John would tell us, and so that we together collectively as the saints of God may be able to comprehend, oh, just a measure of the love of God. And then Paul does not stop there, still talking to the church collectively. He says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you all might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can I ask you this morning, did you come to get filled today? Did you come already full today? How many be so bold as to say, Brother Shane, I come full of God this morning. I couldn't wait to get here because this morning he filled me up with his Spirit before I ever walked through the door. I don't see any hands going up. Maybe you're just too shy to admit it, or maybe too humble to admit it. But I'm going to tell you, oh, I believe that every one of us could say, oh, I have a measure of God, but I need more. I need more of him. And you know what he said when we gathered together as the saints? That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. How full is God? Well, can I tell you this? If you could drain the ocean dry and you could pour it inside of a single man, you would not be able to still yet comprehend the fullness that lies within God. If you could take within a single mind, oh, and comprehend every truth and fact about this universe, you would not be able to understand the fullness of God's knowledge and his wisdom. Oh, because God is infinitely full. But Paul says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. God desires for his people to be people who are filled. And not just partially filled, not filled 35 years ago, but people who stay full. Because this isn't the last time he's going to mention this idea of fullness in the book of Ephesians. Because in chapter 3 he says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. But then if you skip over to chapter 5 and verse number 18, he would say this, be ye not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Oh, quite literally, continually be full of the Spirit. Or get filled and stay full, if you would. Because this is God's will for God's people, that we be filled with all the fullness of God. So, if you come here this morning wanting to comprehend more about the love of God, you're in the right place. Because better is one day in his courts. If you're here this morning and you say, man, I, I,
I have had a measure of God, but I need more of Him in my life. You're in the right place, because this is the place where God pours out His Spirit upon His people. And Paul goes on to say, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Stand with me all over this building this morning. Not just to comprehend the love of God, but to be filled with the fullness of God. And then you know what Paul throws in there? He said, and even things that we can't even ask or comprehend, that's what God desires to do among His people. I am preaching to a church that believes that this morning, right? That's not just for the church in Ephesus. That's the church right here in Hampton, Virginia, that God still does that. He said, to glory be to God, world without end, throughout the ages in the church. In other words, He said God's going to continue to operate in His church until the time that He calls His bride away. And then it's not going to diminish, it's only going to get better. Just when you think it can't get any better, then it's going to get infinitely better. Oh, because it will be beyond what has even entered into the heart of man, or what we have even thought to ask God for. Man, oh man, oh man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The sons of Korah said, if I could just go there and offer a sacrifice and stand there and watch the priest work. And we as New Testament believers, we don't have to stand here. You don't have to stand here and watch me kill a lamb this morning. Would anybody here like to watch a lamb be slaughtered? No, probably not. No. Probably don't get no enjoyment out of that. We probably wouldn't get very much enjoyment out of watching the book of Leviticus being acted out right in front of our eyes. But that man said, I should have died with my father because he was a rebel. But God gave me grace and He let me stay in the land of the living. So I would rather watch that ceremonial law be acted out in front of me just to be near the presence of God. Can I tell you today, we don't have to stand here and watch the ceremonial law be acted out in front of us, but rather we get to experience within our heart what it is to be called not only servants of God, oh, but children of God. We get to know what it is not just to have the Spirit of God come upon us, but for Him to take up residence within us and fill our entire being and light us on sound fire from the inside out. Oh, what joy and what privilege, all to dwell in the house of the Lord. To be where God moves amongst His people. So this is my invitation this morning. If you come here today and you say, I have a measure of God, but I need more, I want you to just go ahead and respond right now. Make your way up to the front of this church and I want you to start praying. If you're one of those people who says, I have comprehended just a measure of the love of God, oh, but He's reminding me today of how infinitely more He loves. Oh, come today. I invite you, because this is the place amongst God's people that He makes Himself known, that he rejoices in the praises of His people. According to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. I'm in a different age, but I serve the same Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.